Welcome back, members. We are dealing with clause 18. Will be led by the legal advisor and the state law advisor.
Chair, in clause 18, there's an amendment on section 18.1. Amendment being that the division of the word intermediate or large, just saying that the minister may participate as a party in any merger proceedings before the Competition Commission. The reasoning being that there was no clarity that the minister, is that the people were interpreting that to limit the minister's participation, that he can only participate in intermediate or large measures, not in small measure. So by removing then intermediate or large, make it clear that the minister can participate in any measure before the Competition Commission.
And is there any opposition to that?
Intervention. There were some concerns about the role the minister plays and his interventions. I think it was also by the Law Society, Vodacom, and what was the third party? Yeah, there were some concerns.
Okay, members, what are we saying? Go to a clause one.
It's a new clause, it's an amendment of clause 18.1 in the current act.
If I may ask, what would lead the minister to participate in a measure? And at what stage would the minister do so?
So the minister typically participates, well, the minister can only participate if it's public public interest concerns. So those are the concerns that are in 12A3. So that are, at the moment, in the Principal Act, it's employment, small businesses, the ability of national industries to compete internationally, as well as the impact on a region or a sector. The amendment bill is also now including a fifth criteria, which is the spread of ownership, particularly by previously historically disadvantaged persons, as well as workers in a company. So it's only on public interest matters. And typically, the minister will get involved during the commission's deliberations on the matter.
So is it the minister in person, or the minister can delegate in his absence?
It's the minister, him or herself.
Okay. Oh, yes, him or herself, because we don't know in future. Oh, okay. Yes, thanks for that clarity. I think we, what are we saying? We agree with the deletion of intermediate or large, just any measure. On the public interest issues only. Yeah. or related to that. Okay, we agree. Let's move.
Then, Chair, we move to the new section, which is section 18A, which is the intervention in major proceedings involving foreign acquiring firms. This is one of the contentious clause in the bill. We received various submissions. For example, Law Society says the section is wide and broad, and they suggested that it should not be implemented. The International Bar Association supported the clause, but submitted some amendments to make it less overbroad and vague. Some submitters from the unions supported the inclusion of security, national security interest in major proceedings. Then the minister generally in his response was that it is supported and it is recognized that states have a duty on national interest, and it's a function of the executive, and it's a constitutional imperative to protect and defend national interest, and that this must be in consideration in major proceedings, Chair.
Thank you so much. You were there, all of you, when the minister responded, so you should be knowing what the minister how was the minister's response then, members? I think in his response, okay. So now we're dealing with 18A.
So just the overall comments on 18A. I've not dealt with the specific.
Can we be specific?
Chair, 18A is a new section all in all. In terms of, there were further than amendments that were made after the public submissions, or there's a suggested wording. For example, in section 18.4D, the word important is replaced by the word critical. 40. On the supply of important goods or services to citizens, or the supply of goods to government, the word important is replaced by the word critical. And Babu Kiane will say it's semantics.
Oh, you are dealing with everything. I thought we'll go.
No, first one,
oh.
Because I don't.
Okay, I thought.
Okay.
All right, thanks for that. Members, as a new section that seeks to intervene in measure proceedings involving foreign firms acquiring a local firm, what are we saying? Should we include this 18A as a matter of principle? And then we can go into the 18A as a whole afterwards. That it then?
I think we should change.
There's necessity to do that. May I hear other members? About beginning it?
Yes, I do. Support it.
Support it. Thank you so much. Can we deal then with the 18A1?
Section 18A1 says the president must constitute a committee which must be resolved.
Section 18.1 says the president must constitute a committee which must be responsible for considering in terms of this section whether implementation of a measure involving a foreign acquiring firm may have an adverse effect on national security interests of the Republic.
Okay, what are we saying? Is there anything from the public that talks to this particular area in terms of that have a problem with the president? Appointing a committee responsible for such matters.
I think, Chair, in terms of the public submission, it will be matters relating to subsection 2, which was the composition of the committee,
okay.
Whether the committee should be permanent or ad hoc.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the issue that was raised during the public
then
submission. Yeah.
Okay. The first one, nothing.
Yeah.
So do we concur that there should be that committee appointed by the president? Okay. So we acknowledge the seniority. As the commander in chief, he has to take care of the security of the country. Okay. Subsection
2. Subsection 2 says the committee contemplated in subsection 1 must consist of such cabinet members and other public officials as may be determined and appointed by the president. So the issue in relation to that clause is just what I've mentioned, that people are asking whether who are going to be these members of this committee. Is the committee going to be a standing committee or is it going to sit ad hoc? What are the skill sets of the committee? I think it was a matter raised by the Helen Suzman Foundation.
Okay, members. Thank you. That is Lena.
It is in order, Chair, because the President may also require the availability of certain skills which may not necessarily be within the Cabinet. So he may need to bring in some technocrats, maybe from the Army, maybe from somewhere else, and some intelligence, etc., etc. So the scope is fine for that particular purpose, but I think the rider is that it should be a standing committee.
Should it only be limited to the cabinet members and officials? Or like you're saying, might be a particular skill needed,
yes,
from a person outside the public officials, for instance?
I think the other reason, Chair, is that you need to be careful as the president. not just go around hugging everyone and bringing them in there, not knowing what they're going to do to you tomorrow. So at least if it is at that particular level, you screen these people and you've appointed them as cabinet ministers and so on, and you go for the technocrats there, you put them together, and then they are ready for a big fight. So that if you want to bring in Bishop so-and-so and so on, tomorrow they change if you refuse to go to Israel and so on, they start to make problems. So I think in this fashion, it is quite in order.
What do other members feel? You share the same sentiment. Okay, let me bring in some points, another view. There was a view that this be a standing committee, while the others would say no, this should be ad hoc as it is, as it stands now. So, what are we saying? We don't agree with that. The standing committee. But here, this is not a standing committee. This is a... It's saying as may be determined and appointed by the president. Okay. The committee contemplated in subsection 1 must consist of such cabinet members and other public officials as may be determined and appointed. But it's broad enough. If you want to make it ad hoc or permanent or standing, it's up to the prerogative of the president to do so. And it doesn't, you know, exclude him from doing that. So that is covered, that the concern is covered. Number three.
Says the president must identify and publish in the list of national and strategic interests of the republic, including the market, industries, goods and services, sectors or regions in which a merger involving a foreign acquiring firm must be notified to the committee referred to in subsection 1 in terms of subsection 6.
Okay.
In terms of submissions, Chair, I think it is the same. It is in the same line. It was just the broadness of the section, Chair. So we'll get to that when we're dealing with the issues under subsection 4.
Okay. I wanted you to read subsection 6 because it refers to subsection 6.
Subsection 6, a foreign acquiring firm which is required to notify the Competition Commission in terms of section 13A1, of an intended merger, must prior to the notification of the merger of the Competition Commission first file a notice to the committee referred to in subsection 1 in the prescribed form and in a manner if the merger relates to a list of national security interests of the Republic as identified by the President in terms of subsection 3.
Okay. So we completed subsection 3 now. What are we saying? Clear to all of us.
I think if you read both the sections, then Chair, the issue that was raised by the International Bar Association was the sequential, whether you first have to first notify the committee and then notify the Competition Commission, and secondly, whether the when the merger is being considered, firstly the issue of national interest would have to first be finalized before the Competition Commission considers the merger. And I think what the Minister then has done in his response has said that you can file both at the Competition Commission and also in the committee, so these matters can be considered at the same time, simultaneously, but the Competition Commission cannot approve the merger until the
committee or national security has made a finding on it.
But it says they first filed a notice with the committee.
Yeah, so they've amended it. In terms of the new subsection 6, it says a foreign acquiring firm which is required to notify competition in terms of section 13A1 of an intended merger must, at the time of the notification of the merger to the Competition Commission, file a notice with the committee referred in subsection 1 in the prescribed format.
That's why I'm confused, because we're dealing with one.
No, sorry, Chair. Okay. It's suggested wording, Chair.
All right.
Sorry, apologies.
So, can we then talk to that? So, the department is now amending its bill.
Yeah.
Or is suggesting the amendment, further amendment,
yeah.
After the bill. Okay.
Yeah.
And how far does that respond to the issue of the concern I raised?
Yeah, the concern that was raised is probably the time period it would take the merger to be completed. In the instance that you first had to finish the security vetting of the merger by the committee, and then thereafter have the Competition Commission considering the merger. So it does that by saying that there could be a dual consideration of the two. The security vetting will be done by the committee. The Competition Commission can look at the competitive issues, but the Competition Commission will not make a decision on the filed merger until the security class, security committee has made a finding. So it addresses the issue of the time period and the time lag between the two.
Okay.
So, yeah, it addresses that complaint.
Thank you. Members, are we in agreement with the amendment of the amendment? So you do it simultaneous?
Yeah.
Simultaneous
notify, yeah.
Or notification?
Yeah.
Okay. The four.
Okay. In clause four is in determining what constitute national security interests for purposes of this act, the president must take into account all relevant factors, including the potential impact of the merger on merger transaction on the republic's defense capabilities and interest, on the use or transfer of sensitive technology or know-how outside the republic, on the security of infrastructure, including processes, systems, facilities, technologies, networks, assets and services essential to the health, safety, security or economic well-being of citizens and the effective functioning of government, on the supply of important goods or services to citizens or the supply of goods or services to government, to enable foreign surveillance and espionage or hinder current future intelligence or law enforcement operations, on the Republic's international interest, including foreign relationships, to enable or facilitate activities of illicit actors such as terrorists, terrorist organizations, organized crime, and on the economic and social stability of the Republic.
Okay. Is what should be taken into cognizance when the president determines what constitutes national security issues. So interest issues. What are we saying? Is a bubble beginning?
Okay. we agreed on that. The reason is that they are too broad, they are broad. So it gives a scope, it's a national scope, so that it's easy to intervene and do whatever you would like to. There's no matter which is left outside.
Oh, okay. Any other?
Minister's response is on page 19 of the.
What I was going to check, because sometimes we look at national security as only the ground. I know we're talking technology and all that. I have a feeling that we don't still not considering, although this is not only limited to. Because it's talking of all relevant factors. I just want to be sure that does this mean inclusive of or that all relevant factors would include those factors that are not taken into consideration here. State law advisor?
Yes, Chair. It is not a closed list. So
it is not.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Including.
All right. Who was up? No one. Okay. May we then go to 5?
Clause 5 says there's a suggested amendment of the amendment, Chair, of clause 4. 18A4D, which says on the supply of important goods or services to citizens or the supply of goods or service to government, the word important is being replaced by the word critical.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anyone cannot agree with that. Anyone with a problem with that? No. Can you go to 5 then?
Clause 5 says the president must issue regulations governing the notification processes, procedure, and timeframes to be followed by the committee referred to in subsection 1 when performing its function under this section, and access to information concerning the measure, including confidential information.
Okay, what shall we say? Straightforward, no? B? Oh, yeah. 6. A foreign, oh, yes, we did. 7.
Within 60 days of receipt by the committee referred into subsection 1 of a notice in terms of subsection 6, or such further period which the president may agree to on good cause show, the committee must consider and decide on whether the measure involving foreign acquiring fare may have adverse effect on the national security interest of the Republic identified by the president in terms of subsection 3. I think the opposition related to the time frames, but since there is dual notification to both the committee and also the commission chair? Because I think most of the saying that they will have to wait for 60 days or even more before the actual competitive analysis is made. So now we have dual submissions or notification.
It's dual sub, yes, but the competition commission can not proceed until the committee is done.
The competition commission can proceed, but they cannot announce on a decision or that the merger is allowed or not until the committee has completed its assessment on security grounds of the merger.
Okay. 8. If we agree, members. 8.
Eight says the committee referred to in subsection may take into account other relevant factors, including whether the foreign acquiring firm is a firm controlled by a firm by a foreign government.
Nine
says during its consideration of a merger in terms of this section, the committee may consult and seek advice of the Competition Commission or any other relevant regulatory authority or public institution.
Any problem with that?
Chair, I thought you were going to double check with the attorney whether there were any submissions that exist. But if not, then there is no issue.
Okay. Sorry about that. I think I have
no, Chair, I think in my preamble I said most of the complaints or issues about the public was about the overbroadness of the section. And I think we've moved from section 4. We've accepted that we need to keep the provisions as broad as possible as not to prescribe the prerogative of the president. I think that's what we did in terms of clause 4. But in terms of clause 9, the specific section itself, there was no public issues, Chair.
I think there wasn't. Because there was a reference to ICASA at some point.
I think the ICASA discussion, Chair, was around when the who will lead the market inquiries. It was not in relation to this section.
Oh, I thought it arose again. Okay, no, fine. There's nothing like that. Oh, yeah. Okay, no. I agree with you. I'm confused. Okay, 10.
Point 10, Chair, says, following the decision contemplated in subsection
7, the minister must, within the prescribed time period, A, publish a notice in the Gazette of the decision to prohibit the implementation of the merger or to permit the notification of the merger to the Competition Commission with or without conditions. I'll end the chair first.
Is there any opposition to that?
No, Chair.
Automatically do that so that I don't forget to remind you.
Okay. Now, there was no opposition, Chair, in relation to subsection 10.
Mm-hmm.
Then B, it says the minister must, within the prescribed time period, submit the committee's report and decision to the National Assembly.
Is it the minister now?
Yeah, so following the decision contemplated in subsection 7, the minister, which is the decision of the committee, The minister must, within the prescribed time period, submit the committee's report and decision to the National Assembly.
Okay, he first gazettes the decision.
Yeah.
And then submit a report.
Yeah, and a decision.
Yes. Okay, it doesn't state when. It can be anything. Or should these things run concurrently with the submission, the publishing of such decisions?
I think, Chair, because it says, following the decision contemplated in subsection 7, the minister must, within the prescribed time period, my view
what
is...
What does subsection 7 say in terms of the prescribed time period?
No, 660 days is that... Is
no,
the
60 days is the processing.
Yeah.
But then the time frame for publishing after... A decision is made.
I think Section 5, which we dealt with, says the President must issue regulations governing the notification process,
okay,
processes and procedure and time frames to be followed.
No,
so
but this is of the committee. Will that include also the minister? Because it's talking about the committee. Here, Section 10 is talking about the minister.
Because I think if it talks about time frames there, because I think the president could also prescribe, because it says it's going to be prescribed, so the only person who can prescribe will be the president. So it could be prescribed there by the president, the time frame for issuing the notice to of submitting the report to the National Assembly. So it's just to make sure that the regulations issued deal with the time frames, or the committee can also put a prescribed time period.
I think to be on a safer side, because it's not clear. Also of the Gazette, it's not clear. A minister can sit, you know, for 6 months without doing that in the Gazette, or even to come to the portfolio committee. I'm saying this because I want members also to apply their minds on this. I'm just thinking of that. I'm thinking out about that. I'm thinking that as these things should run concurrently, so that the committee, the parliament committee responsible, could also be well versed with these issues. Not only to catch it at the tail end, because when there are controversies, you'll find them at the tail end, wherein the speaker now refers the matter to the committee. And if these things are run, you know, simultaneously, it becomes easier then for the committee to interact with that, and if there are any loopholes, they are able to nab them before time. The danger also might be politicking that might be raised. But this doesn't necessarily mean this can derail. The process continues of the commission immediately after the gazetting. So the only thing is just to make members aware that these are the security, international security matters that have been concluded in as far as competition issues are concerned. That is clear?
You are quite in order, Chairperson. The people's representatives must also be aware of what is happening, because if something goes wrong later on, it's almost like a reaction, and possibly there could be some damage already at that time. So if the process run, simultaneously, as you are suggesting, I think it's a plus also in terms of the checks and balances, relatively speaking.
Mm-hmm. What do other members feel? I'm also nodding my head, so I'm not too sure. What that means. It's a matter of time frame. If we agree, what would be the, we're saying concurrently? Yes. With the issuing of the gazette. But they're saying following the decision contemplated in subsection 7, the minister must within the prescribed time period. What does this mean, prescribed time period? State law advice. Prescribed by who?
It will be the president.
That's not included as the committee, as the minister, the minister. Because here, the 7 is saying, if we were to read, within 60 days of receipt by the committee, referred to in subsection 1 of a notice in terms of subsection 6, or such further period which the president may agree to, on good cause show, the committee must consider and decide on whether the measure involving what, in terms of section 3. And then if we go to subsection 6, it talks of a foreign acquiring firm which is required to notify the Competition Commission in terms of Section 13A of an intended measure must, prior to the notification of the measure to the Competition Commission, first file a notice with the committee referred to in subsection 1 in the prescribed form and manner if the measure relates to the list of national security. That's not relevant. I wanted... Subsection 1 also doesn't cater for that. So, to be honest, it doesn't. Can you take us then to the area exactly that talks to that?
Thanks, Chair. The provision that that relates to the making of regulations by the President is subsection 5, Chair, subclause 5 of the of 18A. But Chairperson, just to cover it, maybe we can add the time frame for the minister.
Because it says the president must issue regulations governing the notification processes, procedure, and time frames to be followed by the committee referred to in subsection 1 when performing its functions under this section. Is talking about time frames for the committee. So
I would propose, Chair, that we add a new B there that talks to what the minister is required to do in terms of subsection 10.
10B. Yeah?
Yes, could be a B or a C, Chair. No. A5A.
C. Okay. Yes. That should then explain the time frame for subsection 10. I'm listening.
I would propose under A there we say the president must issue regulations governing A, the notification process, notification processes, procedure, and timeframes to be followed by the committee referred to in subsection 1 when performing its functions. under this section. Okay. I was thinking of splitting that, but it won't work, Chaplain, because it doesn't only relate to time frames. So we probably need a new C, Chaplain, to say time frames to be followed by the minister.
Why don't you put it in 10 and put a subsection there, or include it within the framing of the of section 10? Instead of within a prescribed period, you just say in 30 days after it has concluded.
If we put it under section 10, we might say, following the decision contemplated in subsection 7, the minister must, within a prescribed time period, then in saying B, submit the committee's report and decision to the National Assembly, let's say within 30 to 60 days of the decision there. If we are going to put it under 5.
Yes, you are right. I think I'm comfortable with that. I'm looking at it. Unless there are implications. Is there any implication to that?
We still have the within the prescribed time frame in 10, the words before A. So we need to remove those words there. And then
just end with must dash publish a notice in the Gazette of the decision. And then the gazetting also, you might also need to give it a time frame, because if it's an open ended thing, to me it won't work. State law advisor, you're going to be drafting this at the end of the day, the final
document. I've got no issues, Chairperson, with us specifying a time frame and in both instances. So we can do that. So
the implication. Is there any implication or consequences to that? Any consequences that you might not be seeing or be privy to?
My only concern, Chairperson, is the dual consideration of the decisions, because if one of the decisions is dependent on the other, then there may be an issue there if you publish that decision and then the measure fails in any event, because the commission still needs to consider its own decision.
But that's, you said the commission will be doing that at any rate. The only thing is that they won't publish their decision. But they would have considered. What's the time frame for the commission to consider, okay? Because if the minister published them in the Gazette, there's nothing wrong even in saying after the commission has completed its work. But at least there must be within a reasonable time frame after the commission has concluded its work. Because I hear what you're saying, so that we don't disturb that process. That's my take. I'm putting it before the committee. I'm not saying it's cast in stone. Can something that I'm putting before you members. Because experience has taught me that, you know, you leave everything without time frames, then there's laxity at the end of the day. The executive has that tendency. And you end up not knowing until there's a problem. and you're expected now to jump and, you know, intervene or find yourself, you know, in an awkward position. And you'll be asked, how come you are overseeing that but you don't know anything up to that far? So if you were to report to the legislature, it has to be within a particular time frame. Members? Yeah, Michelle, what is on the as the planning? That's it, Lian. Thanks, Ro. Not just accept.
Maybe if we
flip over.
Maybe we should know. Maybe we should find out from our lawyers how this matter is dealt with in other areas where issues are being referred to the legislature. Whether there are particular frameworks in that instance, so that we can use that as a reference in dealing with this particular matter, so that we don't just come up with a certain, you know, period that is not practical in terms of the processes of the state as such. So maybe if we could be guided how this was applied in other instances, just as a guide. I know we don't want guides, we want regulations. In this instance, just as a guide.
When you say in other instances, you mean in terms of other legislation within the country? Okay. All right. Guideline?
Other pieces of legislation do prescribe time frames within which matters must be tabled in Parliament. So there's nothing untoward in that.
Okay. I also understood. That's why I was asking whether is it the legislation within the country or the legislation elsewhere, that is, within other jurisdictions.
I was looking necessarily at our own system.
Mm.
I was saying, if in other instances where, like for instance, we want to know the time frame, we want to specify the time frame in which the matter should be brought in. Now I'm saying, in other instances where this happens, is there a particular period that is suggested then, or it depends on that particular act? You know, that you know, it is being dealt with at that particular moment. I thought we would get some kind of guide from what is there already, similarly, that is.
Or in terms of specific period.
Yes.
I think they differ. They differ. You don't find others will talk of on a quarterly basis, others, depending on the matter. Others will talk of 6 months, others will say a year. So it differs. It depends on the matter, the matter on the table.
Chair, the reason I was coming to that,
mm.
I was trying to fine-tune our mind so that we are prepared for the kind of period that we want to suggest.
Mm.
We must have an understanding why this particular. It cannot be just, okay, let's say 2 months or 2 weeks. For 1 week, it has got to be relevant. That's what I was trying to drive at.
That's why the amendment to say immediately or within reasonable period after the competition authorities have concluded. That was the suggestion on the table. Because then you are not saying within 6 months or 12 months, but it must be within that period while it's still fresh, while it's still new. But it can be done even before then, depending on what the minister feels like. If he feels, yeah, not after, because that will be irrelevant. It must be within that kind of that particular. Babu beginning.
Chair, you put it very, very smart, this thing. Very smart when you were around the ground. At least there were 60 days to talk about that the process was continuing. But in that process, what did we were updated about where are we on this particular matter. Now, all reasonable time now comes in, therefore, when they finish the 60 days. So it assists us. So your summary was very large.
Because here it says prescribed period, but there's no prescription anywhere. Is there somewhere where you have prescribed? Unfortunately, I'm not supposed to be talking to the department now because it's a parliamentary. You can brief the state law advice. I'll give you that. Okay. I think our legal advisor has a suggestion.
I think, Chair, what I was saying to the Chair is that as I'm sitting here, I'm not in the know what considerations are put in by the Minister before gazetting or submitting to Parliament the information. But I think the Act does recognize that there must be oversight over the process that is undertaken by the committee. But I was suggesting then that under Section 5, that we put in a clause that will work out with my colleague that says the President must prescribe the time limit upon which the Minister must submit the information to Parliament. So therefore he applies his mind to that. It might be something easier to do it that way, that we include probably a 5C to say prescribe the time period upon which the Minister must submit the decision and the report to Parliament. Because I think the issue I think what Balkan was asking is that what informs these time frames? Why is this one a year? Why is this one a 6 months? And I'm trying to think, as I'm sitting here, I was trying to think that, and I'm saying it's very difficult to come up with an answer. Why is this Act saying 6 months? Why would that one say a year? So I'm saying then to protect and to ensure that there is a parliamentary oversight over the process, we do say under Section 5C, include a Section 5C, that it must be prescribed in the regulations, so therefore the minister cannot sit on the decision and not submit it to Parliament.
Bambulet, if I were to engage you on that also. You see, this is an act of Parliament, not an act of the President. You see, the President prescribed to a committee that, and you cannot therefore put that clause as a responsibility of the President that deals with the reporting to the legislature. That clause must be a standalone clause that indicates that, yes, as much as we give you this, there's that also obligation to come back to us and tell us what is happening. Because national security issues, on any national security, the President reports to Parliament, nowhere else. you see. So in this case, that issue is concluded. That's why we are coming up with that specific section, complete section on national security matters. So you cannot finalize that without Parliament knowing what is happening on national security, specifically on that. But on whether a measure is there or not, I think that's something else that we're talking about. But measure, what issues this measure is going to talk to, the content is very important. So then the question arises, when, at what stage, like you were asking, does Parliament know of the outcome of the committee's deliberation? This is a matter that members we should be discussing. And if we really need to think through that, I think we can park that and go back and come back. There's nothing wrong with that. Tomorrow we're still meeting, you know. We have 3 days to finalize it. We can come back and park this matter and come back and discuss it.
Yeah.
Yes.
The question may necessarily have to be directed at our attorney. Looking at the Act itself, is there a particular area where we would be able to slot in nicely, as the chair is suggesting, as the stand alone? Is the space, as things stand in the Act, where we could possibly do that without linking it with something else? Because if we link it too much to the presidency, it may give a wrong, you know, interpretation or consequence about the role of the legislature as such. But having looked at the Act itself, are you seeing that kind of a space, or would we necessarily have to need time to go and think about that? That's the question that I just wanted to ask.
Yeah, while you are still there, I want to read this again before you come in. Following the decision contemplated in subsection 7, the minister must, within the prescribed time period, publish a notice in the Gazette of the decision to prohibit the implementation of the measure or to permit notification of the measure to the Competition Commission. This is not a decision of whether there's a measure or not. It's just a decision to allow, whether to allow the competition authorities to continue with it or not. That's the decision. And then if the notification can be within in the Gazette, it's a public document. So at the same time, the minister must submit to the committee's report, the report to the National Assembly. It doesn't say that it's a parallel thing. It just says puts A and B, because the minister might do it, you see, and it goes. The committee might also decide to deliberate on that, because it's a public knowledge. Use the Gazette information and deliberate on it. But that's not an official tabling of the matter. It's just a public interest. Now it arises to the committee as a public interest issue. To avoid that, at least there must be that, if it can be publicized, put in public, then there must be a notification to the committee, to the legislature on a prescribed period also. So that it's a matter of tightening the screws, because it's provided but it's not tight. Just need to tighten those screws so that it is done. It's not a matter of whether I can or cannot do. Because if you say prescribed time frame, it can take 6 months after he has already issued in the Gazette. You can't blame that. Even if you take it to court, it would say prescribed where is it prescribed? There's no way where it's prescribed. Unless we said the minister will, that there will be regulations to that, but is it a necessity? It's not necessary. State law advice.
Thanks, Chair. There are two things, Chairperson. Following from the, I think it's a consequential amendment that is required on 10, Chairperson, following from what was done to subclause 6, because now you have a dual process in the committee and in the commission. So the 10A2 will no longer be necessary.
Exactly. The
notification of the measure. Mm. So basically what will happen is in 10, the committee, the minister will only publish the decision of the committee in the Gazette.
Mm.
So the sub 2, even the prohibition of the implementation of the measure, I don't think it's still necessary to specify it. Because all we need to say is following the decision contemplated in Subsection 7, the minister must publish the decision in the Gazette, a notice of the decision in the Gazette, and then we go on to B. So I was going to propose, Chair, that for me it appears there is no need to separate the number of days that you're going to publish in the Gazette and the number of days that you're going to inform Parliament. So we can just say in 10, following the decision contemplated in Subsection 7, the minister must, within 15 days of that decision, publish the decision in the Gazette, and B, submit the committee's report and the decision to the National Assembly.
Is that fine?
That would be fine for me, Chair.
Within 30 days?
15.
15 days. Will they do it within 15 days?
I don't know. What do you want to
say? Because it's just following the decision. Contemplated. So a decision might be taken today, but the report might be ready in 15, 10 days, 30, 20 days, depending on the type of measure, of course, which is, if it's a national security kind of, according to what the president has published and according to what appears on 6, it might be complicated. It means, therefore, people have to gather still, gather information, consolidate, and then before that report is finalized. Maybe instead of we saying the contemplated decision, we talk of the submission of the report, following the finalization of the report. The decision report. Is it one and the same thing? You know, as we engage on this thing, the more questions come up. So we cannot therefore leave it open. It's our responsibility to deal with those issues. Because sometimes when you read this thing, you don't think through some of these things until you engage on the matter. Should we slip over this and then come back tomorrow? So that our legal minds can, come together while we also as politicians think through this. And then tomorrow it forms part of those that we have passed to. Okay. Members, I have to make a ruling here. Okay, thanks. The next one?
No, 11. the Competition Commission may not make a decision in terms of Section 35B or 14.1B, and the Competition Tribunal may not make an order in terms of Section 16.2, where the Minister has started a debate prohibiting the implementation of the measure for national security power.
I think we spoke to this. It makes sense. I don't know if any member has a problem with this. Are we all in here? Okay. Can we, there's a proposed amendment?
There's a proposed amendment on the amendment, Chair, that says the Competition Commission may not make a decision in terms of Section 13.5B or 14.1B, and the Competition Tribunal may not make an order in terms of Section if the foreign acquiring firm fails to notify the committee in terms of Section 6. And then B is that or the minister has published a notice in the Gazette prohibiting the implementation of the measure. And I think Section...
The one from the minister, before the minister, what does it say?
It says if the foreign acquiring firm failed to notify the committee in terms of Subsection 6. I think it's trying to address the issue of QR evaluation.
Mm.
So I think, yeah. So someone can...
Is it still necessary?
Yeah.
After that, the initial one.
It will also be addressed how we amend Section 10, Chair, but I think for now, I think you need that section because if you've got dual submission, someone then just submits only to the Competition Commission and does not submit.
Or is this the one that we're talking about earlier?
Yeah.
Is this the... okay. If that's the case, it's fine. I don't know if there's any member who has a problem with that. Any right? When's that now? Your battery's left. You need a break. Professor, you can't. We have to finish this particular section only. Okay, we only dealing with 18 now, and we're about to finish it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to 12.
Section 12 says the president may delegate any power or function conferred on him or her under subsection 3. And 4.
Hmm?
So he can delegate the power to any cabinet member, that is the power to identify a list of national interest and also what should be considered as part of evaluation of national security interest. So he can delegate that to any cabinet member.
Okay. Remember, you can delegate, but you can't delegate responsibility. You can delegate a function, but the responsibility still lies with the president.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we in agreement or we don't agree?
Yeah.
personally have a problem with that, but it's fine. Yeah. Do we agree? Okay.
Then there's a new section, Chair, that has been included, that is being suggested, which will be a section 12A.
12A.
Yeah.
Okay.
It says the committee, which is similar to what the Competition Commission can do, is that the committee may revoke its approval of the merger or, in respect of a conditional approval, make any appropriate decision regarding any condition relating to the merger if the approval was based on incorrect information for which the party to the merger is responsible, the approval was obtained by deceit, or a firm concern has breached an obligation attached to the approval.
I love that session. I don't know who came with that lady, but it's a beautiful one. Those are some of the issues I was saying. They are lacking a bit. I don't know. Members? Okay. Members, what are we saying? We need to protect this country. Otherwise, we'll have a problem. Are we in agreement or are we tired? We just agree with anything that comes before us. We're done. State law advisor, you want to come in?
Then there's a section 30. It says the competition tribunal may impose an administrative penalty in accordance with section 59(2) on the parties to a merger involving a foreign acquiring firm for any contravention contemplated in section 59(1)(d), read with the changes.
But does it arise from any submission or is it a new submission?
It's a new section from the submission. I think it's part of tightening up the section, section 18.
But the problem is it wasn't part of the purpose. It might create challenges for us.
But I think it arises from the amendment of 312H. That way, the section that you said it arises from that section that if I, for example, if you deliberately do not inform about the matter, then it can be distributed.
Can you leave that so that it sounds like it's coming from us? Because if it comes directly, we'll be having a problem because then it would mean that was missing the new. Might be challenged. We are a lawyer, you may agree. I think you're not ready. Can we discuss it? What we have in, I need also to put it before the member. I take it that we're done for today. You're tired, I can see. Although we had said we're finishing at 5. That was the... Are you tired? Anyone with energy to continue? Because the time we intended to finish is 5 o'clock, members. That's what I'm told. Yes, and at 10.
Can we suggest something like 10 to 15 minutes break?
10 to 15?
Just to refresh.
Okay.
The mind and so on. And to grab a little bit of fresh air from outside.
Okay.
And maybe when we sit down again, we might be different people.
Thank you. Anyone who's who doesn't agree with that?
Because
yeah, otherwise
work,
I was going to call it
work, it's mental.
It's mental.
Even our lawyers, they are not as exuberant as they were.
Members of Parliament, we are used to working until 3 o'clock in the morning. That's why there are breaks in between. Can we take 15 minutes break and come back? Maybe conclude on the issues that are remaining within the set. Ivo, you are not listening to me. Conclude on the remaining issues and then for today, and then we're done. We're not going to go further more than, you know, we had intended before, but we'll just deal with the rest of the section and then conclude. Maybe 4 o'clock will be done. It's 4, maybe half past 4 will be done. Okay? We don't even have a tea break. We don't even have tea. Who puts it? Oh, we are looking for you. Oh.